So tonight we're going to, I hope, to finish chapter 2 in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, right after Galatians. And we're only going to have four verses, but like Bill said, sometimes I get weighed down by speaking. And somebody asked me tonight if I was going to be teaching, and I said, no, I hope I'm not. So I'm here only to bring forth to you what I feel the Lord has given me through these four scriptures relating to many other scriptures in the scriptures. Because I think you've heard this once or twice. Scripture interprets scripture. Have you heard that? And I'm finding that more true each time that I'm forced to come up here. Because I have to dig a little deeper than I normally would just to for myself. But it's a wonderful thing that the Lord allows us to search His Word with the realization that if we're truly seeking Him first, then His Word will come alive in our hearts. But, you know, He's promised us, seek me first for everything that I do. And He proves it over and over each and every day. And I just thank Him for that because His promises are true. And He makes it real in my life each time that I get into this Word, because I have to ask Him what He wants, not what I think I should say. So it's always a struggle. Just like Mary said, are you ready? And I says, no, I'm never ready. And I never have been. And I just pray that the Lord speaks through me. There are some things in here that are my idea, and we'll see how they fly, you know. Put up the flag and see how it goes. But let's pray and remember Mikey and pray for Juno. He needs it. Let's see, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's 4 days with two male children. So pray for him. Don't pray for Karen. That's her job. That's part of her job. That's her makeup. And Pat just gave me a look, but she still has to love me. Okay. Father, we just thank you again for your grace and your mercy and all your promises, Lord, that are ours because of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on that cross. Oh, Lord God, just thank you for your sacrifice for us. And we thank you that you made it so we can come to the Father with a full assurance in our hearts that he will accept us as we are. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your loving kindness and your forgiveness when we come to you with a heart of repentance. So tonight, Father, forgive your servant, for there's many things to be forgiven of him. Touch this fellowship tonight. Touch their hearts and their minds, and may they be willing to hear what you want them to hear and not what I want them to hear. So, Father, according to your word, according to everything that is written, we claim your promises tonight and we ask you, search us. Do what is necessary in our hearts and our minds this night for our growth and our good, but most of all, Lord, for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we say, amen. All right. Now, I'm not going to get political right away, but I want to just point this out that you know what the DNC is? Very good. Well, they're in a disarray, we know this. But this is the ultimate of stupidity of a nation that is totally divided. Like it's never, this is worse than the war of the states. This is really worse. Nobody's died yet, but I think it's coming. They are so divided. Right now, they're voting on who's going to be head of the DNC. The person that has the most votes, he's an Islamist. He's a Jew hater. And right now, he is have a movement started to impeach Trump. We have two main parties, right? Republicans and the Democrats. And if Obama for 8 years had the power and used it to get as many Islamic people in our government that he could at the time. And this guy, He was a protege of Farrakhan, and he used to go to that church there that Obama went for years, and he's totally outspoken against the Jews. Yet we've got people in our government voting to make him the head of the second largest party in the United States of America. You think about that. Think about where we are as a nation, and then think of where you are in your walk with Christ and what we should be doing. What I just told you should not make you afraid. What I just told you should be that you will now, truly, forthwith, stay on your knees as much as possible and praying that God will soon appear to us and take us home. And pray for as many to witness to that will be going with you. Because the way this is going, we will see him a lot sooner than we think. Amen? That's my political statement tonight. So in verse 19, I'm going to read 19 and 22, then go back. First Ephesians chapter 2, starting at 19. Not second. No, well, I'm going to do that next month. Starting at 19. I had to share that with you because it's just amazing how God works. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners. And why is that? If we go back to verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. So therefore now we're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners. And that word foreigner, it says to dwell, hence dwelling near. The word came to denote an alien who dwells as a stranger in a land without the rights of citizenship. The word describes Abraham and Moses sojourning in a land not their own. That's in Acts. So we now, we're not strangers with the Jewish people. We're not strangers or foreigners to those that believe now, of course. So we're not strangers anymore. God has brought us into that household, brought us into that fellowship that they had, that wonderful fellowship that they had, but then they rejected Christ. So he brought us in. But now, we're not strangers there, but yet we are strangers now. We are strangers in this world because of our relationship now with the Father through Jesus Christ. And it says, we as Christians, we're traveling through this world as an alien whose citizenship and ultimate residence are in heaven. Are in heaven. If you want to write this down, if you're taking notes, even if you're not taking notes, you can write it down. 1 Peter 2:11. And this is very important because I'm going to touch on something here in the next word, household. So I want you to grasp this. 1 Peter 2:11. And this is living before the world. Beloved, I beg you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from lustful flesh, which war against the soul. We have to be a witness. We are witnesses for Christ. It's just like, dovetail on what some of what Gary said last week in his final part of Romans. In the household of God, household of God, Colossians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. It's always to the household of God, which is the household of faith of the believers. How we treat one another, good and bad. But this is God's house. This is His household, and we're part of it. As Gary was saying, that we love one another. We fellowship with one another. We hurt with one another. We have to care about one another. And if we truly have this relationship with the Father through Christ, how He suffered for us, is it too much for us to suffer for one another when there's something needed, regardless of where they are in their walk? Anybody that names the name of Christ as their Lord and their Savior, no matter where they are, they're still brothers and sisters. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. We're in different walks, each and every one of us. Some of us are up more, some are down. But the walk is growing each and every day as we fellowship with one another, as we love one another, as we reach out to one another. This is a household of God, a household of faith, being built by Him, not by us. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And as we read His Word each and every day, and we ask for His wisdom in our lives, that wisdom will come, and we're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, deeper each and every day. And as we fellowship with one another, as what's the scripture? It says, iron sharpens iron. You will never realize this, but when I first met you, I said, He and I are going to chafe one another. Really, as soon as I saw Him, and I knew it. But we're growing together in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I appreciate Him so much because I know Him, and He knows me now. So now, as we rub against one another, the sparks don't fly anymore. There's just a smoothness there. And that's what happens after a while. Rubbing and rubbing, and it gets smoother and smoother, and a relationship grows. Because He loves me and I love Him. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be everybody in here. The love. Because we're of this household of faith. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, a lot of times we do things and, wow, we feel so good because we accomplished this. But something like this that I'm sharing with you just makes me feel so much more, not good for myself, but a goodness is coming over me because I'm changing because of Him and our relationship. So it works both ways. So I just want to share this with you. The household of God, and that's who we are. That's who we are becoming. It's the household that He's building, that He's bringing about. Not me, not Him. It's because of His love for Christ. My love for Christ makes our love for one another grow. Did I say Colossians 6:10?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if I go too fast, just tell me. Okay. We did do that one. All right, let's go to page 1569. 1569. That's going to be Romans 12, 3 and 5. Yeah, Romans 12. 3 through 5, I believe. Yes, yeah. And you know what? That's right after 11. We all there? Okay. No? All right. We got plenty of time. Oh, gosh, no, we don't. Maybe we should have had the music. We're there?
I'm here.
Okay. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Didn't I kind of say that? I hinted to that. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Amen? I mean, says it all, doesn't it? And kind of follows up on, I was thinking that that's why I put this down here in a little quotation. Gary Thursday. Remember we were talking on Sunday about writing things down, then we forget what they were?
Yep.
So that's what I did. All right. Okay, let's go to, now 20, I'm going to have a hard time because there's so much there that I'm going to have to cut some of it short. Verse 20 in Ephesians 2. Have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen? Now, do you know where that was first mentioned in the Bible? Yep. I hope you don't. I did all this for nothing. Turn to me, it's the Psalms 118. Psalms 118, verses 22 and 23. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And it's the Lord's doing. How many of you are builders? Bill's a builder. No. And this building was built. A cornerstone. That's where the foundation is started. And if that foundation, that stone, is the right stone in the right place, on the right level, everything else will come into place. So, Christ is the cornerstone. Now, what are they saying here? Let me get it here again. The apostles and prophets, what foundation are they talking about? Jesus is the cornerstone. And the building's going to be right because he's the cornerstone, right? So on the cornerstone, you're going to have a foundation, the rest of the foundation. So what is that foundation? What was the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? That's right. The Word of God. Because Jesus is what? The living Logos? His Word is the written Logos, right? Logos. So, He is the cornerstone. And that foundation is the Gospel. God's Word. All of it. All of it. So, that's being built up. And who's doing the building? You and me? No. He's using us, yes. It's Christ. He's using us. My closing statement will bring it all together. But anyway, he's doing the building, and that foundation is his word. But Jesus Christ, he is the chief cornerstone. It's him. And so the apostles and the prophet spoke of him. The apostles spoke of him knowing him. The prophet spoke of him coming. Okay? The prophets, they talked of him coming. But the apostles knew him, lived with him, ate with him, cried with him, learned from him. Okay? That's the foundation. He's our cornerstone. His word is our foundation, working in our lives, drawing us together. I'm going to stop there because I could keep going. And I, you get the idea, right? I mean, it's pretty explanatory, I think. I hope it is to everybody. If it's not, let me know. I'll go a little bit deeper. Okay, you answered me. 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows. Grows. Not like a plant, but it's growing into a holy temple. In who? In me? In the Lord. In the Lord. We're growing in this. We're being fitted together with this whole building, this whole household. But he's doing the building. We are the willing precipitants, a little bit louder so we can... Thank you very much. What she said, participants. So we're growing in this because of him, because of his love in us flowing through us. Through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. It's a beautiful thing, and we're becoming holy temples. Holy temples. Do you remember what Jesus said? That he was going to tabernacle with us? That means he's going to live within us. And he's promised that he does now through the person of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We read over these things, but I did two emphases in the first... Verse chapter 19, I emphasized you, didn't I? Do you remember that? The ones that are awake? I said. And then again, when I get to 22, it's you again. Us. Us-ins, you and me. We know that he was talking to the Ephesians, right? The Jews that become Christians and the Gentiles that became believers. Amen? So now it's us too, because I'm going to tie that in when I get to 22. So he's working in our lives. We're being built to be fitted together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Okay, I'm going to jump right into 22. You also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. This little note here is, it says here, Christ's believers constitute God's spiritual house. Do you think about that when you read this? Because I used to read right over, oh, that's good. But this is what we are becoming. This is what he is building to be his spiritual house. It's not of ourselves. There's nothing that we can do. It's all him. When I first started this study, I said, I spent 2 weeks in Christ. And it is always Christ. That's where our folks, sometimes we get so upset with ourselves because we did this or we didn't do this or something. And you know what? We can blame it on something else. But the truth comes right back to us that we would probably never have done it if we would have been diligent in the Word, staying in the Word when we're supposed to. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to be perfect. I can't be perfect. But I can be obedient. And when I screw up, it's got nothing to do with anybody but me. I wasn't obedient. That's all he wants. He wants obedience. That's all, nothing else. We don't have to do anything else. But I make it so hard to be obedient. Because there's so many things that come into my life that I want or I don't want, or I get upset. Did you ever get upset over a mouse? I bought a mouse. I paid a good buck for it. It's great, but half the time it stops. So I have to do the... I got him tailed. Oh. He's tethered. Oh. But, all I had to do is take it back. But I didn't take it back. So, and I've been fighting with this. I'm telling you. I'm being honest with you. I was fighting with it, and I was getting mad. I take it, and I slam it. So today, I'm trying to get this going. And today it was really bad. And then I got the email from Juno that not with the prayer report and everything. So I'm getting that thing and I'm trying to print it and I can't print it and this thing's messing me up, And so I said, I'm going to take it back. And I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard no. I heard no. That mouse, it may stay like that. But if I'm true, it's not going to bother me. I'll live with it. I should have taken it back the first day. I've been struggling with it for 2 weeks. So I was going to take it back today and get another, and I heard no. So that's it. So with his will working in my life, I'm going to master that mouse. This is a true story. Okay? Take it for what it is. This is a true story. So, if you have trouble with your pets, exactly. Then I got to buy a cat. So, we're living stones now. We are living stones. And he's going to take these stones, and he's going to make these stones into what they are. The household of faith, all of us, the same way. And as individuals, he's going to take us stones. And this fellowship, this household is going to get bigger, and it's going to get bigger. But it's going to get bigger of born again. Born again. Not just, I'm a Christian. No, I'm born again. I'm born again. Through His grace, through His mercy, through the Holy Spirit. Okay. I told you I was going to tie this up, and here I will. John 17, 23. You should know this by heart. I used to when I had a heart. 17, 23 through 24. And this is the Lord's Prayer, the real Lord's Prayer. He prayed for Himself, then He prayed for the apostles. Now He's praying for all believers, all born again. Amen? 23, John 17, 23 and 24. I'm going to start with 22. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me. For You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. We are being built up to be a holy temple, to dwell with Him that gave us all for us. Amen? And this is what I want to close with. This is what I wrote down, what I feel these four passages, these four scriptures were. The building made up of living stones, being made into a temple for the dwelling of God, through the Holy Spirit. We are the living stones that He's using to build up for our glory and for the world to see that we are His and He is our dwelling place. Amen. Father, we thank You again for Your word. I pray that it will truly penetrate our hearts and our minds for Your glory and honor and for our grace and mercy as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we may truly have the mind of Christ, Lord. And that when these things beset us, Lord, as You speak to us, we will be quick to listen and have our peace and our joy and our contentment, knowing that You are working in our lives. You are building us up because we are living stones for Your glory. And we thank You through Christ our Lord. Amen.